In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 this morning, Matthew 6, 25. Perhaps you're in need of a Bible that you might study with us, just raise your hand. These gentlemen will make sure that you get one. If you need to keep it, there's no charge for it, it's all yours. But in particular, we want to all make sure we're studying the Bible, make sure we see it's from the Word of God, not just man's opinion. So just raise your hand and they'll make sure you get a Bible. For all of us, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We are in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount in this chapter. And Jesus continues to share. And at this point, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Needless to say, we live in an age of anxiety, it seems. Fear and worry seem to grip so many of us. And there's no shortage of things to worry about if we should choose to. Health issues, financial concerns, we look at our world, the problems of this world, the turmoil of this world. We look at the violence on the streets. We look at the struggles that relationships go through. Problems at home with teens, children. Turmoil on the campuses. In short, there is no shortage of things that want to tempt us to worry. That's not a newsflash to you, of course. But please don't think that these verses don't relate to us. Hopefully we see right away that they do. Now the exact issues may have been different, but the disciples who are gathered before Jesus on this occasion here by the Sea of Galilee, they were just as prone to worry as we are. How important it is that we learn and practice God's answer for the anxiety and the stresses and the worries of our lives. This isn't just cute sayings, but it's God trying to share with us the means by which we can make this journey the way it's designed and not be eaten up with the worry and the stress that's all around us. Because in the end, it even goes beyond worrying, and that's what he's addressing here, our hearts, the core of who we really are. Our reactions to our circumstances reveal much about us. It reveals what we're really trusting in, what we're really all about. See, there's the trust that we say we have, and there's the trust that we really have. And that's revealed by what we do with what comes our way. The Lord doesn't want us, beyond a healthy planning, to worry and stress. So he sets before us a choice. Look at verse 33. Speaking to his followers, saying, you know what? The heathen seek all these other things. They worry, they stress out. But to us, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I've called our time together this morning, seek first the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to keep away all distractions now. There can be so many things, Lord, that tug on our hearts, and you're, of course, fully aware of that. Lord, help us. Help us to receive today. Help us to go out of here having cast our cares on you, to really lay hold of your answer to the worries and the trials that come our way. Lord, you love us. You've given us a path to walk, a path of peace, a path of victory. Lord, we stray so often. We do get into turmoil and worry. We confess that. Help us, Lord. Help us to hear and do that which you're about to share with us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you notice how many times in this passage that Jesus mentions worry? For just a moment, look at verse 25. I'm just going to read the beginning of each of these verses. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Verse 27, which of you by worrying? Verse 28, so why do you worry? Verse 31, therefore do not worry. Verse 34, therefore do not worry. Does anybody notice a thing? The Lord knows us. He knows we're prone to worry. And so he's addressing that specifically. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you'd be willing to admit to God today that you're a worrier, that you're full of anxiety. Maybe you came in today wondering, worrying, what's going to happen with some situation. The Lord wants to speak to us today about these things. What we're going to see in this section is that Jesus is holding out an alternative to stress and worry. Whether we take that answer is up to us, but we'll see that we do have a choice. Jesus doesn't just say, don't worry, be happy. He's going to give us very concrete things we can do, if we will choose to do them, that will lead us to victory and peace. It's not that we don't go through trials. He knows that. In this world, you will have tribulation, Jesus says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. But do we live the overcoming life? Look at our opening verses. Verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So first of all, he says, don't be worried about something. What does he name? He says, our life, what we will eat, what we're going to drink, about our body, what we're going to put on. Jesus is kind of using these to kind of catch all, and yet really, they're good summations, of course. He sets before us common issues that really get so much of our attention. Because when we talk about how am I going to make ends meet, etc., still it comes down to what we're going to do with those funds that we gain and all, in terms of food and in our what we wear and those kinds of things. But at the end of verse 25, he asks a very important question in light of that. It's a heart-searching question, indeed it's meant to be. And he says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? For some people, the answer would be no, it's not. That truth be told, from a certain amount of people, they say, nope, pretty much that's right where I'm at. That their thoughts are consumed with what am I going to wear, what am I going to drive, where am I going to live, basically about material things, the needs of the flesh, the needs of this body. And not that we don't have those needs, but for some people that's all it's about. And yet Jesus says, is not life more than that? Ask yourself, is your life more than that really? It's designed to be, but what have you allowed it to become is the challenge. So what's he say in response to them? He says, don't do that. Isn't life worth more than that? He says, look at the birds. So here we see God's first step in dealing with worry. What's he say basically? He says, look around. Look at the birds, meaning look at creation. Think of what God has done and how he's designed it, how he set things up, and how he meets the needs and provides for needs of even his creation in terms of the creatures, the birds and all. Look at God's care for the birds, he says. They don't sow and reap and gather in the barns, and yet God takes care of them. So he's saying basically, get the big picture. Are you not of more value than they? It's interesting when the Lord asks questions. God doesn't ask questions because he doesn't know the answer. Well, then why is he asking questions? Because he wants to see if you know the answer. You ever had those occasions when your child takes something they shouldn't? You saw them do it. You know, they grab that cookie and they got it behind their back. And you say, what do you got behind your back? Now you know what they got behind their back. So why are you asking it? Well, in our case, you might be asking it because you want them to know that you know what they have behind their back. Or you're hoping they're going to confess and go, well, I've got the cookie, you know, whatever. But we already know it's to get them to think about what they've just done, to think about what they're doing. In a sense, when God asks questions, it's for us to think about what he's saying. Look what he says here in verse 25. Is not life more than the things that you're worrying about? And the next one, are you not of more value than the birds? What do you want to say to you today? What you got behind your back? Nothing. What you got behind your back? A worry. What are you worried about? What? Not, you know. And we start trying to explain or dodge the bullet and all. He's going, basically, he says, what do you got behind your back? A view of myself. What kind of view? Well, I'm not very important. And he wants to say, don't you see? Aren't you not more valued than the birds? So notice that. God's first step in dealing with our anxieties and our fears, indeed our first thing to think about as we think about how we travel through this life, is to get the big picture here, that we are valuable, more valuable than the birds. Now, just let me add this real quick so there's no mistaking us. This doesn't mean that we don't have our part in meeting the needs. It's true, birds don't sow or reap or gather into barns. But they also don't stand around with their beaks like that, saying, okay, drop the worm in. They go out and do their part. They look for the worm. They look for the seeds that God has provided. Don't sit at home and say, okay, God, meet the need. I'll expect a check any day now. No, we do our part in planning and working and all. To work, to plan is not a lack of faith. But when we go into the mode of anxiety and worry and those kinds of things, then it is an issue of faith. We'll see that in a moment. But the point he begins with here is, don't worry, don't fret. You're more important than the birds. You're very important to your heavenly Father, and he will take care of you. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? More questions, getting us to think about it. What are you worrying about? He goes, which of you can add a cubit? Which of us can add an inch to their height by worrying? I'm still trying to add hair that way. It doesn't work. You lose it that way. It doesn't help. Which of you by worrying? So what's he saying? He wants to see the fruitlessness of that, that it's really a wasted endeavor to sit around and worry and wring our hands. And he brings up stature and he brings up clothing again. But then what's this next step? What's the next thing he points to? Verse 28, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? When was the last time you really stopped and considered God's provision and care for you? We get to worrying, especially in those times, it seems like all this goes out the window. Yeah, but I don't know, this is a really big one. I don't know if God can handle this. Now, we don't say that, but our attitude reflects it. But think of the detail in creation. Think of flowers and birds. He's trying to use things we can all relate to and understand. And if he does that for them, how much more will he do for you? But then he puts in there, O you of little faith. Why? Because he's trying to show us the contrast. Because it'll always be faith versus worry. The two are mutually exclusive. To the degree you're having faith, you're not going to worry, and vice versa. And how you and I handle the issues we face reveal the measure of our faith. It measures our faith level. We are His children. The Sermon on the Mount has been awesome as the Lord. God has now come and He's walking amongst His creation and God is sharing His heart. And what He continually has seen from the beginning here as He shares His heart is we are His children. If you've accepted Christ as Savior, if you've asked Him to come in and forgive you, you are His child. We're not to live as if we're fatherless. God is willing and able to take care of you. Is not life more than this, He says? Aren't you more valuable than this? Why are you worrying? Oh, you of little faith, when are you going to believe? Verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Again, what worries are mentioned here? Eat, drink, wear. Still, a theme going through here. Those things that tend to, because He knows us so well, that tend to eat up most of our worry. And then He adds a next step here. For after, verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Gentiles here means heathen. It means those who do not know God, is the idea. Those who don't know better. Those who've had no revelation of God. Do you know better than those who don't know God? All the Gentiles seek these things. They're consumed with worry about these things. That's their highest goal, their motive. But it should not be so with His children. For your Heavenly Father knows, He knows you need those things. Do you know better than those who don't know God? Do you live like you know better than those who don't know God? Are you any different on the job, at home, at school, than those who don't know the Lord when it comes to your worry factor, your anxiety factor? What a testimony it is when we trust God, and what a tragedy it is when we don't. He is your heavenly Father. Notice that, for your heavenly Father. And we are His children, and He knows that you need those things. He knows how to take care of us. But now we arrive at the cure of cures, the thing that we really need to focus on. But before we read it, we need to go back for a moment. Go back to verse 25. This paragraph, this section here began, therefore I say to you. Now, the word therefore is a connecting word. It means based on what was just said. And we need to look at it for just a moment. Look at verse 24. Before Jesus gets into this worry chapter, these worry verses, He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and things. You can't have both as top priority. See, a servant, his whole goal as a servant, of course, is to be devoted to focus on, to live for his master. That's what a servant would do in those days. And Jesus says here, rightly so, a servant can't have two masters. Because by definition, only one can be your master because it's who you're going to look to and take care of and be all about. And the minute you try to serve this one, you're going to neglect the other. You can't do both. And if we're all about things, you can't serve God. You cannot serve God and mammon both. Only one can have that top spot in your life. So now he leads into a section that kind of draws that out, i.e., what are we all about? What are we really going to trust? Who are we going to look to? Not our words, our lives, our actions. Who are we really looking to? The answer, how do I make sure I have the right master? Now go to verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. There it is. God's ultimate cure for worry and anxiety. Now, yes, it's opposite of what our natural tendency is. Yes, it's opposite of what the world would tell us we should be worried about, concerned, and be all involved in. And yet it's God's remedy. It's God's call for how we're to make this journey through life. To remember who He is, what He is, whose we are if we have indeed received of Him. Look at that verse closely. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't you be like up above, the Gentiles seek these things, verse 32. For all these things Gentiles seek, but that's not going to be what you seek. You seek first the kingdom of God. First here means it will be first in priority. It will be the top priority for our lives. And the seeking here, seeking first, the seeking here is to make this thing the object of supreme choice and pursuit. The seeking of them first means you're going to put this above, before and above all things. To seek first His kingdom and His righteousness means you're going to turn to Him for help. You're going to fill your thoughts with His desires. You're going to take His character as your pattern for living. You're going to desire that Christ-likeness. It means you're going to serve and obey Him in everything. So yes, we have before us God's cure for our worries. And we need to learn to take our concerns and worries to our Heavenly Father. And to seek first means we're going to do this as top priority. You can't serve two masters. So you've got to decide the issue. Who will, what will you be about? And this says, I will be all about You, Lord. That our circumstances are going to find us seeking God's kingdom. Seeking His reign. That's what that means, His kingdom. His reign and rule in our lives. That our circumstances will find us seeking God's will, His purposes in it and through it all. Now, to seek God first doesn't mean that, okay, when a trial comes, I'm going to seek God first, and then second, I'm really going to worry. It doesn't mean, look, I'll seek God. Okay, I spent 5 minutes seeking God. Now I get to worry. Because after all, I mean, God, this is really big. And this may not go a great way. It might be a rough time ahead. I better worry about it. But see, it's seeking first in priority, and it's a continual seeking. It's a continually putting His will, His purposes first. Because this isn't just a cure for worry. This doesn't mean that you should only seek Him first when a trial comes along. Uh-oh, here comes something I'm worried about. I better go seek God. No, it means seeking God is what worry should find you already doing. And that's a world of difference. Yes, bring those trials and troubles to Him, but let that trial, when it comes to you, find you already abiding in Him, already seeking His will, His kingdom, His rule, His reign, already being about His purposes. It's about doing this all the time. So it's about a priority, a continual priority in your life. That yes, others might choose to worry and stress, but I'm going to choose to seek You, God. And then I'm going to give the rest to You. I'm going to let You handle that. When trouble comes knocking on the door, may it find us seeking God first, His righteousness. And then verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And to that, some would say, amen. Today's got enough trouble of its own. And that's what he's saying. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Again, beyond a healthy planning, let tomorrow alone. Well, how can we not worry about tomorrow? I mean, think about it. How much do we worry about? Like right now, most of us are okay, but boy, the next minute, the next hour, tomorrow especially, man, I might be a goner. And I got to worry or it won't go right. And that's how we think. And some of our anxieties keep bad things from happening. Our worry, all this, it overloads us and it rips off today. And that's the point. We've heard it a lot, but don't let the familiarity throw you. We can trust God with tomorrow because He's already there. Jesus lives in eternity. He's already there. He sees it, and he goes, don't worry about it. I don't have to worry about tomorrow holds because I know who holds tomorrow. And he holds me, and he's made certain promises and commitments. He's going to be faithful. He's going to see me through it. Now, I can worry about it and miss out on the whole thing, or I can take his way of doing this and travel with the peace and all that he wants me to have in it. So just for a moment, let's consider what he has told us. How do we get victory over worry? How do we not fall victim to begin with? How do we make sure that worry will find me seeking God when worry comes knocking? Verse 26 began by telling us what? Are you not of more value than they? First of all, don't lose sight of how valuable you are to your heavenly Father. I know that there's a whole lot of people. Yes, I know you wait in line at the bank and the store. You wait in line just to get on the freeway. I know that you start thinking, man, I'm a number. Not to God. You'll never get a busy signal with God. So first of all, know how valuable you are to your heavenly Father, he says. What's the next step? Verse 30. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What's he saying? He's saying, have some faith. Have some trust in God. So know that you're valuable to him and place your trust in him, not in the circumstances, not just what you see, but in him. Thirdly, verse 32, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Remember that the Father knows your need even now, and he's made provision for you. A woman by the name of Corrie Ten Boom, her and her family during World War II would hide Jews from the Nazis. Well, when she was little, she one time asked her father, she said to her father, what's it like to die? And her father said to her, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing this, but her father basically said, Corrie, when we go to take the train, when do I give you the ticket? And she said, well, right before we get on the train. He said, exactly, because you don't need the ticket until then. And he goes on to explain, and the point that I want to make is, it's the same for what we face. When we come to that which we're going to have to face, when we get there, God is faithful. He'll give you the ticket for that trial. But until then, we're not called to get on the train. But we worry about, oh, I don't have a ticket, I don't have a ticket. Well, you're not called to get on the train. What if I am? Then he'll give you the ticket. And that's the point. Well, what if he can't? What if he doesn't? He's faithful. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us peace. He might deliver you from the trial. He might just take you through the trial, but he won't forsake you. He's begun that work in you, and he will complete it. You're going to be home with him, and he's going to be with you through the journey. And on go the commitment and promises he's made. So just know that we don't have to sit there and worry, well, what if, and what if, and what if? 95% of what we worry about doesn't happen anyway, and all you did was just load yourself down. And the things that do come along, when they get there, when the train pulls in, he'll give you the ticket when you need it. Because God is faithful. Remember, therefore, that third step. Remember the first was know how valuable you are to God. Have faith, secondly, in God. Third, remember that he knows your need. And he'll meet that need as you need it. Thirdly, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Be putting God first in your life. Remember the character of God, his righteousness, his kingdom. Be about him. And you watch what he does about the things you face. Is there a place for planning? Yes. Some of us unfortunately think that all that worrying and stressing out is planning. No, you've passed planning a long time ago. Beyond a healthy, okay, yeah, I need to plan for tomorrow. I got to get ready. I got school tomorrow. I got work. Got some ideas. Got to make sure. But beyond that, at what point does our faith kick in? How are we any different if we don't do what he's called us to do here? And the awesome thing is, we get to do this. God invites you to travel in this way. Then you get to choose. Some of us sometimes play yeah, but with God. If you do that, you know what I mean, maybe, but let me explain. The Lord says, hey, beyond planning, don't worry about this thing. I don't want you stressing out. Don't worry. I want you to give it to me. So the Lord says not to worry to us, and we say, well, yeah, but, and we begin to explain why we should worry. We tell God why we better be worrying about this thing. Oh, we don't maybe come out and say it so many words, but basically that's what we're doing. See, it's as if we're going to tell God something he doesn't know. God says, you know what, I know you got that job interview coming up this week, but all I want you to do is just kind of plan, be prepared. Beyond that, I want you to pray and just leave it to me. If you're supposed to get that job, I'll guide you in that. If I got a better one, you won't be getting it, but I want you to trust me. Well, I don't know, God. I don't know if you can handle this. This is a big one, God. I mean, I really want this job. And I'm picking that, but there are obviously more serious things, health things and real rough things we go through. And we turn around and we start telling God how we need to worry. Now, can you imagine if you did that, if you started to tell God the problem and God says, you know, you're right, I hadn't thought about that. You know what? You better worry. Matter of fact, you really got a problem. Because neither one of us can handle this one. I don't know what you're going to do. Let me know how it turns out. What if God did that? Well, he doesn't. He never will. He will never do that. He doesn't work like that. Instead of playing yeah, but with God, take what God has given us and play yeah, but with your worries, with your problems. When the enemy of your soul comes along, or your natural tendency or whatever to worry comes along, what about it? You got that coming up? Or remember the doctor said, or what about it? You got this test coming up. You can bind it. Yeah, I better worry. Oh, God can't handle that one. Or you can say, yeah, that's true, but God. And bring God's word to bear on the problem, on the worry. Don't play yeah, but with God. Take what God said, play yeah, but with the enemy and with your worry and your trials. Yeah, but God's faithful. God's promised to see me through. God holds me in his hand and nothing's going to take me out. And take what you do know and come against those things, the worries and all that are going on. Basically say this. Yeah, that's something serious. Yeah, that's a trial. Yeah, that's a real potential worry. But I've decided to seek God first. I decided just to go and be about him and his kingdom and his righteousness and leave the other with him. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to be anxious for nothing but pray about everything. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to trust God just being about his business. I'm just going to keep tracking what the Lord says. I'm going to seek his will and do it. Well, what about, and don't you realize? Yeah, I understand. I realize that's going on. But I'm going to seek God. And you know what? I can't serve two masters. I'm either going to serve my worry or I'm going to serve God. I'm going to choose God. And that's the choice you need to make. And as we do, it doesn't make sense to our natural mind, but if we make that kind of choice, there's something supernatural begins to happen as a peace that passes understanding starts coming in. But again, it's not just in the face of that worry. Let the worry find you already in that place of saying, nope, I'm seeking God. You're going to have to go find somebody else to bug. Go knock on somebody else's door, but I'm going to keep seeking God first. Our part, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His part, and all these things shall be added to you. Now don't worry about his part. He is more than able to do his part. He's able to add to us the things we need. The things we need. This doesn't say seek God first and there's a Mercedes-Benz in your driveway when you get home today. Unless you already own one. This doesn't mean you get the house on the hill even though you can't afford it. That's not what he's talking about, what you really need, the peace and the wisdom and the strength, those things we really need. And yes, he will take care of our material things that we need, not just our wants, our fleshly wants, but those things we need. He is faithful, and he will meet those. Stop to think about who it is that's telling us this. You see, God is not putting before us the latest self-help program for worry. Oh, I think I'll try this. It's God. I mean, come on, God. Why is it so hard to believe God, to trust God, to rely on God, as if we get to sample him, you know, see. This is God telling us to be about him and he'll take care of the other. The one who loves us and sent his son to die for us and forgives us and guides us and blesses us. Why is it such a hard thing to trust him and to seek him first? We should want to. And not just because of a trial or a worry, but because it's a way of life. That's the point. That'd be a very way of life. You get to seek Him first. We get to, when we roll out of the bed and put our feet on the floor, be all about Him throughout the day. We get to end the day knowing Him better if we chose to. Seeing Him work in that situation. Seeing Him strengthen us or guide us or whatever that need was. Consider His power. Consider how He has suffered for us. Consider His great love. How can we not seek first the kingdom of God continually? And that's the call. Jesus will end this Sermon on the Mount by saying, "The wise man is the one who hears and does these sayings of His." Will we go out of here and be worriers, or will we be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? What should mark the life of a child of God? Children of the Father. The unbelievers, they seek those other things. But your Heavenly Father, He would ask you, He would call you. Jesus sets before us this choice. You be about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. May God find us living right here in verse 33. Let's stand. Worship team is going to close us in song together, and I don't know